Sing and rejoice, O daughter Zion. For lo, I will come and dwell in your midst, says the Lord. Although Christmas is usually a time for celebration, this year it's a more somber occasion for many people. We see pictures of violence in other lands, and we're moved by events which have their origin on the other side of the world. Some of the things we could once have taken for granted now seem less certain, and that naturally causes feelings of insecurity in all of us. This year, 2008, especially the latter part of the year, will be remembered for plunging financial markets, with the pound being almost equal to the United States dollar and to the euro. It'll be a year remembered for banks and businesses going bust, and for the start of recession around the world once again. And here in our own country, we've seen companies like Woolworth going to the wall. Once great banks like the Bank of Scotland reduced to surviving only through takeovers and huge financial props from the British taxpayers. And looking back over the past year, people will be asking for some time, how on earth did we miss the signs of all the problems to come? The evidence was there all the time. How did we miss the signs? Now, not all of us understand the complexities of the modern financial world, but we all, from time to time, go through a very similar domestic situation. Have you ever searched for something you've lost? You've hunted all over the house, up and down, in and out, every cupboard and drawer, only to discover that it was right there where you'd been sitting. It was here all along, you cry in exasperation. How could I have missed it? It was right under my nose. And it often happens, whether you're looking for something small or something big, that what you're looking for has been under your nose all the time, only you didn't see it. There are people who travel to Oriental lands to study mysticism and meditation, and then they find that there's a great history of these things in European Christianity, only they didn't know about it. There are people who travel to far-off places in search of mental peace and healing, when they could have found it by staying at home and learning to relax. There are people who go off on pilgrimages to find somewhere where their prayers will be answered. And they discover that God's invisible presence has been with them throughout their journey. Particularly when looking for God, what you're searching for is often found to have been here all along. Let me tell you a story that I was telling some children last week at their school assemblies. It's about a wee boy, Jimmy, who grew up in times of economic hardship in the 1930s in America. Jimmy's family were poor. His dad had been laid off. They didn't have very much money. And so Jimmy was quite excited when he saw a poster one day telling him that the circus was coming to town. And he ran home and he said, "Dad, Dad, the circus is coming. Can we go to the circus?" But his dad had told him all about the circus, all about the things to look forward to when they saw the circus. But his dad sadly shook his head and said, "Jimmy, we just can't afford the ticket." At that time, it was a dollar a go for a ticket. It was quite a lot of money back in the 1930s, especially if you had no money. But Jimmy was quite resourceful, and he thought to himself, "Well, I'm sure I could raise a dollar." And so he started doing part-time jobs around the town he lived in, picking up litter, tidying yards, running errands, that sort of thing. And eventually, he managed to raise his $1. And he was filled with joy as he went down to the ticket office for the circus. And he bought his ticket. And he ran home and said, "Dad, I've got my ticket for the circus." Well, the night before the circus was due in town, a bit like tonight perhaps, Jimmy could hardly sleep. He was so excited. Perhaps you've children at home like that. Jimmy was so excited because the circus was coming the next day and he was going to see the circus and see all of the acrobats and the trapeze, all of the animals being controlled by the lion tamers and so on. He was going to see the clowns. He was going to see all the spectacle in the big top. And he hurried into town early that morning because a circus was arriving. And long before he saw the circus, he heard the noise of the band that was accompanying it. And slowly the circus came in down the main street of the town. And Jimmy was so excited, he could almost burst with excitement. Well, he watched the jugglers and the men on the stilts. And he watched the animals and all the cages going past. And he saw the clown in his clown's costume with his big red nose and his floppy shoes. And in his excitement, Jimmy went into his pocket and he handed the clown his ticket. Well, by the end of the parade, he was so excited, he ran home and he said, "Dad, Dad, I saw the circus. It was just like you told me. It was wonderful." His dad said to him, "Jimmy, that was only the parade, the circus arriving. That wasn't the real thing. And you've given your ticket away now. You've missed the real show. You've missed the main event." And you know, so often it's like that in our lives. We, particularly at Christmas time, are so busy, caught up with parties and buying presents and getting food ready and all sorts of other things, sending cards, the likes of that. We're so busy with the periphery of Christmas that we sometimes miss the main event. And yet, when we're looking for God, God says, "Here I am. I'm right where you are." How can this be true? Surely God is too great and too wonderful to be in our house amid all the clutter of Christmas. Surely God's too great and too wonderful to be with us as we hurried round the shops and the supermarkets over the past few days. Surely God is too great and too wonderful as we stood in queues to either collect parcels or to post cards. And it's true, God is transcendent. He's higher than the highest heavens. He's greater than the universe he made. The nature of God passes our understanding. Our little minds can't even begin to understand God's greatness. It's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God, because our sinful souls would shrivel up in the light of his moral purity. The immensity of the divine is displayed in the majesty of mountains and in the distances of space. How can we ever think about a transcendent God like that, let alone speak to him or know him? And yet the astonishing thing which the Bible reveals is that God wants us to speak to him. He wants us to be part of the main event. We could never have guessed that if God hadn't told him so himself. As the old British Telecom advert reminded us, it's good to talk. Talking builds up relationships. And it's good to talk to God, because by prayer we learn to trust him and to depend on him and to rely on him. By prayer we learn how much God loves us, and we learn to love God in return. But how can we pray to a God who is greater than we can ever imagine? The mind boggles at our presumption in even trying to speak to a transcendent God like that. That's a real problem. And so God decided to do something about it. He wants us to hold on to our belief in his transcendence, but he wants us also to learn that he's so close to us as well. So God decided to become one of us. The immeasurable God shrank himself smaller and smaller and smaller until all of his transcendent greatness was contained in the fetus, in a womb of a young woman in Nazareth. And later, when that baby was born, he wasn't some mighty prince. The creator of the universe became an ordinary, tiny baby without even a proper roof over his head. That's astonishing. But that was how God wanted to show us that we can talk to him in spite of his greatness. That's how God wanted to draw us into the main event. And all we have to do is to learn to speak to Jesus of Nazareth, a human being like us. And if we talk to Jesus, we are also talking to God. It's as simple as that. The transcendence and the immanence of God are brought together in the God-man of Galilee. A few weeks ago, I was called by one of the national papers, and I was asked my view on the virgin birth. I think they were phoning lots of church ministers. I said to the reporter, and I think this threw him a wee bit, I said, there's nothing out of the ordinary about Jesus' birth. It was the same as any other baby being born. What the miracle was the miracle of the virgin conception, when the power of the Most High overshadowed Mary, and Jesus was planted in her womb. The angel Gabriel spoke to Mary, telling her that the power of the Most High would overshadow her, and she would be with child. This was no ordinary conception. This was God the Creator entering his creation in the most vulnerable way. The immeasurable God shrinking himself smaller and smaller and smaller until all of his transcendent glory and greatness was contained in a fetus, in a womb, in a young woman in Nazareth. You see, without that moment of incarnation, Jesus' death on the cross would be the meaningless death of a good man. But that's not what the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us that God himself was incarnate in Jesus. And Jesus himself spoke of being one with the Father. He spoke of being God. And with that incarnation, with the immeasurable God shrinking himself smaller and smaller and smaller until all of his transcendent greatness was contained in that fetus in Mary's womb, Jesus, taking upon himself my sin and your sin and having it nailed to the cross with him, is of eternal value. At Christmas time, we enjoy our decorated trees, but the Bible speaks about another tree. We find it in the Easter story. And that tree is the cross upon which Jesus was crucified. Jesus, the Son of God, who died for you and for me, and for the sins of many. The miracle of the virgin conception, the incarnation, led directly to the cross and to the miracle of the resurrection, when sin was vanquished and when death was overcome. And through that miracle, you and I can know God and find peace. Not just the peace we work for in this world, although it's good to do that, but true peace within our hearts, when we're in relationship with the same Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and when we know Jesus as our Saviour and Lord. You see, God had promised in advance to do all of this. Think of the promise of a child who will be born and called Emmanuel, God with us. And in the prophet Zechariah, sing and rejoice, O daughter Zion, for lo, I will come. I will come and dwell in your midst, says the Lord. We ought to have been ready for his coming. But instead, we travel the globe looking for God. We scan the heavens with our telescopes hoping to find him. And God was there all along, right next to us. Only we didn't pay him any attention. You see, the baby in the manger in Bethlehem is the end of our quest. He's there in our midst. Only he seemed so ordinary that we didn't even notice him. God wants us to talk to him. And it isn't difficult because he's right here, listening for us to speak to him. God was here all along, we cry in astonishment. How could I have missed him? Right under my nose, here, in the midst of us. this Christmas, may you discover the living Lord Jesus in your midst. And may God bless each one of you and those you love this Christmas night.